The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Jesus then said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so before I begin the homily, we're all going to find out if there's anybody in this church who is as OCD as I am. So I would like to know if anybody in this church walked in today and noticed anything different about church. Anybody here notice anything different when you walked into church today? Yes?
The color of green.
The color of green. That is an excellent guess. Not quite, but a very good guess. Nope, we still have green. Green was the same last week as this week. There is something different when you walked into church today, and did you notice it? Anybody notice it? Nobody? Anybody else have a guess? Deacon, did you have a guess?
Yeah, there was no sacristan, servers.
No sacristan or servers. Well, okay, that's not my fault. That is something, and maybe we're all finding out that I am the most OCD one among us. Now, hopefully some or several of you are going to be like, "Oh, yeah," when I say what I'm about to say, but Lenny, last chance, anything, yes. Oh, baptismal was not there because we're having a baby baptized. Also an excellent guess, but not correct. That was a really good guess though, because indeed, that is something good. Yes, David. Let's go, yes. Now, David Smith, what light bulbs did I change?
I know one.
Anybody remember which light bulbs needed to be changed in here?
That one.
Which one, who can point to it? This one right here, anybody remember? Since as long as I've been here, what has this chandelier looked like?
White.
A very different color than all of the other ones in here. And I tell you what, something strange started happening to me. It was hard for me to sleep at night. You know, I started losing my appetite. I like walked around depressed. I really couldn't figure it out. And then one day it dawned on me. I was like, it's the light. It's different than all the other ones. I have to change this. And so I don't know if you noticed it, but as I sit here, I have been staring at this very light for the last 6 weeks now. And I'm like, how? And so I hope that you all don't mind. It was really just for my own heart health. I finally decided I just needed to go get some light bulbs and match it. So we've done that. You can rest assured that I'm back to full health. I'm happy again. I ate breakfast this morning, so there you go. Yes, indeed. So, anyways, jokes aside, today in the gospel we reach the very dramatic conclusion of the sixth chapter of John's gospel. Now, you've been following along with me for the last 5 weeks when we started the sixth chapter of John's gospel. We've been listening to these verses in succession. And so this whole conversation now, which has been one kind of continuous dialogue between Jesus and this crowd of Jews that have come to listen to him, now finds its ending in a way that is certainly notable. It's a very interesting conclusion. I would say a very sad conclusion. Now, as you remember, what you're listening to today in this gospel is still part of one single conversation, all of which is taking place about a day after the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, right? That was like a month and several, what, 1 month and a week ago, 5 weeks ago, something like this. When we listen to Jesus as he multiplied, he did his greatest, most public miracle. After that, in a bizarre direction that nobody would have expected, because this is totally revolutionary teaching. Nothing that has ever been heard before this, that is in none of the scriptures of the Old Testament, and Jesus begins to make more and more outrageous claims. You need to work for the bread that endures forever. That is the bread that will come down from heaven. To obtain this bread, you must believe in the one whom God has sent. The one who believes in me, whom the Father draws to him, I will raise him on the last day. For I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. No, I'm serious. My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. And I say to you, and this is the more literal translation, unless you chew on, unless you gnaw on the flesh, my flesh, and unless you drink my blood, you do not have life within you. This is the conversation. It turned a corner, and then several more corners after that, very quickly. And at the end of all of those things, this entire crowd that has just watched Jesus say crazy things have all looked at him in the face and said, "Cut, peace out, see ya." And they all walk away. They turn their back on Jesus and they walk away. Now we have to keep in mind that this entire conversation, as with all of the stories of the Gospels, plus or minus maybe about one, are really the Cliff Notes version of the story. There is so much that has to be packed into the stories that are recorded by the evangelists, because there are certainly a context, and we could read this conversation from top to bottom in the course of about 5 minutes. Now, that conversation did not conclude in 5 minutes, right? So you have to remind yourself of, like, okay, what would truly have been unfolding in this moment? And if we sort of take one or two steps kind of into that thought process, a lot more begins to unfold for us that can really help us understand how substantially dramatic was the moment in the heart of Jesus especially. So keep this in mind. What is Jesus doing in this particular moment? Well, what Jesus is doing in this particular moment is trying to spell out in a more concrete, practical way what his mission is, why he came to the earth. And the reason that Jesus came to the earth is for the salvation of the human race. Jesus came to save all people. And in order for Jesus to save all people, he's like, how is this going to actually work? And there's going to be this beautiful integrated process of what he does and what he invites people into to participate in that. And something that will be a part of the salvation of people. Jesus says, in so many words, essential to that process of salvation is this very discourse, the bread of life. Okay, now keep also in mind that Jesus is speaking to an enormous crowd of people who have just watched him produce this great miracle, very public miracle. And when Jesus looks everybody in the eye in that crowd, Jesus knows all of them by name, right? He's not just a mere man. Jesus is the God of the universe. Through him, all of creation was made. He was looking at the eyes of everybody that he held in the palm of his hand even before the foundations of the world were made. He knew all of them through and through. Think about the person that you know more than anybody else, the person that you love more than anybody else on this earth. Now imagine standing in the midst of 5, 10, 15,000 of them, or whatever size that crowd was that went from the mountainside and followed Jesus here into this room. It's like Jesus came and he was speaking to his own, the ones that he made with his own finger and formed them in the wombs of all of their mothers. And he's looking at all of these people in the eyes, and they don't necessarily know Jesus from Joe Schmo, because maybe they've never seen him, or they've just seen, like, ooh, this is like a famous preacher celebrity guy. So Jesus knows them in a way that they don't know him. But he loves them as much as you would love the person that you love the most, and then, you know, umpteen times more, infinitely more, because he's God. And so Jesus is standing in front of the crowd of his own, and what he's about to give and what he has just finished giving is sort of a kind of magnum opus. He's saying, here's everything that I want to say to you so that the best thing in your life that it could possibly happen will go ahead and happen. The most important thing that I could ever say to you, the most important way that I could ever help you, I'm offering that to you now. Because when Jesus came to the earth, he had nothing but good things to give to humankind. He had nothing but love in his heart to offer them. And he says, this is how near I want to be to you. This is how near I want to be. And if that is the most important thing that you could ever spell out to somebody, and you were going to have that conversation with the person that you love the most, how would you have that conversation? How intently would you look that person in the eye? How much would you want that person to be paying attention and saying, I just want you to hear everything that's about to come out of my mouth? And how ardently would you want them to accept the words that were going to save them forever? And this is what is in front of Jesus as he gives this discourse. And at the end of that discourse, what is the response of those whom he knows through and through to the words of eternal life that he has just spoken to them? He watches all but 12 turn their back and walk away. And if that happened to you, how would you feel? What would be the drama of that moment in your own heart? What would that experience be for you? I mean, you would probably be weeping. You were so sad. If you wanted nothing more than to be with the person that you loved forever, and they said, nope, I'm going elsewhere. I mean, the evangelist, St. John, doesn't put this in writing, but I would be shocked if tears were not coming out of Jesus' eyes in this moment because of how hard it would be for him to have this conversation of nothing but pure love and then watch people walk away from that opportunity. And what John does describe for us at the end of that, as Jesus watches people walk away, as many of his disciples returned to their former way of life, no longer accompanied him, Jesus looked at the 12 that stayed. And he says, do you also want to leave? I mean, his heart was wide open and broken when he asked that question to this very small group who were left behind. Just, I have to imagine in his human heart, begging, hoping, praying that somebody would say yes, anybody would say yes to the words of eternal life. And thanks be to God, whatever grace Peter needed in that moment to speak for the 12 who had the courage to say, Lord, where can we go? We believe you have the words of eternal life. Peter had to have such great faith in that moment. As Jesus himself proclaimed, the flesh cannot accept this. It is the Spirit that gives life in this moment. In other words, as you heard me preach a few weeks ago, human understanding alone is powerless to accept these kinds of words. It is only the gift of faith and reliance and trust upon God that would cause somebody to have the power to stay with me in this kind of love. And so, is that an apt description of a crowd besides the crowd that Jesus spoke to? 100%. That is such a common description of the lives that you and I live and the world that you and I walk in. Because what happens sooner or later in life is the choice that was presented before Jesus in that moment. What Jesus wanted in that moment was for all of those whom he loved, who he knew by name, he wanted them to be with him. He wanted to save them. He would never want any of them to walk away. And he has two options. Option number one. I can say whatever it is I need to say so that people can stay here with me. And if I did that, it would require me to lie in order for them to hear something from me that they can accept. Or option number two is I can tell the truth and I could risk everybody walking away from me. That is a hard set of options. If those were your only options in life, and if that's what you would be presented with, what would you or I choose? I tell you what would be easier to choose. What would be easier to choose is what was comfortable. What would be hard to choose is what was true. And yet that's the reality, that's the fact so often in the world. We find out that the crowds not only in Jesus' day, but so many of the masses of the world that we are living in right now, find it easier to group themselves in a former way of life that has no possible ability to give them eternal life, rather than be confronted with the truth and accept that truth and cling to that truth no matter the cost. Because they know in that moment that the cost of holding on to the truth might very well mean a lonely road, the road less traveled. It might even mean the people that I love the most would turn their back on me and walk away. That is a very, very hard proposition. But for anybody who is going to call themselves a Christian and is going to believe the words that Jesus reveals and cling to those words with faith and trust in him, you and I eventually are going to meet the same set of options. And we're going to be required by default of the world we live in to choose between what is comfortable and what is true. Between what I can understand or what pleases me and what requires me to trust somebody else and have faith in an understanding that is above my own natural capacity. So it puts, for example, Sunday in much clearer context. We all happen to find ourselves sitting in a church today, and none of you have to be here. I'm not requiring you to be here. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and say, do it or else. You would be free at this very moment to be on a golf course if you'd like. You can go down and have brunch somewhere at a nice restaurant with great food if you like. You can watch TV right now if you like. You could sleep in today if you like. You can go travel to your favorite vacation spot if you like. And yet all of you have made a decision, an intentional choice, some way or another, to sit here for an hour. And you think about how blessed we truly are and how special it truly is for us to make that choice, which sometimes, or maybe oftentimes in life, doesn't necessarily hit us with such significance because maybe it's just been a habit, you know, for as long as we can remember. And we're like, oh yeah, I just go to church on Sunday. But Jesus is fully aware of the weight of your decision. Because he's fully aware of the consequence of your decision and of my decision. He knows that life's decisions are hard. He knows that clinging to the truth sometimes feels very, very lonely. He even knows that sometimes in life it causes division in our closest relationships and makes our hearts ache for those who would walk away or who would not have a relationship with God. That is so hard. All of us probably know members of our own families that we pray for so often because they live in the world and maybe not in right relationship with God. And we want to know, how could I possibly change that? And sometimes we struggle. We're like, if I just somehow make them go to church, if I somehow just make them believe in Jesus, if they could just see what I see, somehow the world would be fixed. And then Jesus says, and you aren't in control of that. And that is going to be a deep, deep pain for your life. And how do you respond to that? Jesus reminds us, particularly in the Bread of Life discourse, that he is very, very near to those who walk the lonely road, who walk the road of clinging to the truth, who walk the road of making the hard decision, not the comfortable decision. And he is especially close to us in times like that and in relationships in our own life like that. It is so hard for us to know that people will gladly choose a kind of earthly food, whatever that is, in their former way of life, and starve themselves, starve their souls to death, either knowingly or unknowingly. And yet the objective consequences of that are the same, that they cannot have life within them unless they convert, unless they repent, unless they change their ways, come to Jesus and believe in all of the things that he teaches us. Man, that is weighty, isn't it? We know it because we know how much the people we love and how much we would want the best for them, most especially the gift of God's eternal life in them. We are all here today because we have made a decision to be humble before God, to make a decision to believe in what God tells us because we believe that he's trustworthy in all that he says and that he will never lie to us. That the only thing that he would ever want for us is good and truth and beauty and eternal life. And that he asks any who would accept to believe in him and to follow his words and to cling to him, no matter the cost. Because he will never fail to fulfill us in our most deepest needs. He says, I am the one who has the power to give you eternal life. And I want to be so close to you that every time you would ever allow me, I will make my body to be in your body. And I will make my blood to be in your blood. And I will make my soul to be in your soul. And I will make my divinity to come into your humanity and to transform you in such a way so that you can live forever and be with me. Man, I just get you. But that's the truth. And that is a beautiful but heavy truth. And so today, we just have a particular love and gratitude to God that his grace is what allows us to have a capacity and a strength to choose this over everything else that we have an option to choose. And not simply to choose it today, but to be faithful to it all the days of our life. And instead of trying to choose what's comfortable, and instead of trying to choose what might control the world or control other people, even for the sake of that they might choose the good, instead we would say, no matter what everybody else chooses, as for me and my house, I will always serve the Lord.